For our scripture reading this morning, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew chapter 25. If you're using a Scofield Reference Bible, page 1035. We'll read verses 1 through 13. The 13th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, and as is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And let's read together the text verse, please. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And may we pray. And Father, we thank thee for this great day. And thank you for our church. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the privilege that we have of hearing thy word preached. Give us serious attention to the preaching of the word, and may we hear with ears that are ready to hear and hearts that are ready and prepared to do that which we hear. In Christ's name we ask, amen.
Jesus said, Watch ye therefore. He said, You do not know the day nor the hour which the Son of Man cometh. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the blessing of uncertainty. The blessing of uncertainty. I could call this sermon the blessing of insecurity. There's nothing as overrated as the word security. Not a word. You know for whom I feel sorry? I feel sorry for all of these young kid athletes making $1 million a year, have guaranteed income rest of their lives. They're in for the shock of their lives. I feel sorry for them. They have security. Nobody who has security is happy. Nobody who has certainty is happy. Jesus said, Watch ye therefore. For you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. It is the very uncertainty of that promise that makes it so blessed. I want to speak to you for a while on the blessing of uncertainty. Our Father bless our little offering of loaves and fishes this morning. I do not have a bakery to offer, nor do I have a fish market. I just have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Just a little bit. But you did not feed 5,000 people from the bakery or from the fish market. You fed them with loaves and fishes. So feed, I pray, this great crowd of people today with the loaves and fishes offered by this simple preacher. In Jesus' name. Time to get up. Amen. I don't like it when you set the alarm telling me when to quit praying. That's very presumptuous. My mind is full of things when I think about that. When I was in college, we had a fellow, I won't tell, better not tell his name because he might still be alive, but he wasn't alive then. But we had a professor who prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He always did. If he called on to pray, that took care of chapel. And he just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. You won't believe this. And I don't care if you do or not. But we also had a basketball player who was as mean as the devil, and he had no reverence for anybody. And this professor is praying one day, and the basketball player disguised his voice, nobody know. And the professor had prayed for everybody. He had prayed for missionaries in China four times, all over China too. And basketball player hollered out in a disguised voice and said, "Put another quarter in, prof, your time is up." He didn't bother him a bit. He kept on praying. He was absent-minded. And finally, he said something worth saying amen to, and he said, "Amen." Somebody said, "Amen." And then the professor said, "In Jesus' name, amen." Looked out at the crowd and said the only funny thing I ever heard him say. He said, "Whoever said amen, thank you. I've been trying to think of that word for 10 minutes. Whoever played the alarm and woke me up from praying, thank you. I've been wanting to preach for quite a while. That was funny. When I was a young preacher, I considered my pastor, and did until he went to heaven, to be Pastor J.C. Sizemore. Was my pastor in my formative years as a teenager. However, when I became a pastor, Dr. Sizemore was about the age that I am now, and he introduced me to his pastor, Dr. George Schaefer. Dr. Schaefer was my pastor's pastor. Dr. Schaefer was well up in years. I think he was 88 years of age or so. And I decided to have my pastor's pastor to come and preach for me one Sunday. So I asked the old man, Dr. George Schaefer, if he'd come. He did. He preached and then sent me a little package of books as a gift. That little package of books was to change my life. I was a typical young preacher. Thought I knew everything and didn't know anything. But I did not know many things that I needed to know. And those little books, in that package of books, were the books that molded my life. One of those books was called The Preacher and Prayer. I think it's called The Power Through Prayer now. It's by E.M. Bounds. Changed my life completely. One of those little books was R.A. Torrey's book on how to pray. Changed my life completely. One of those books was the biography of Charles G. Finney. I think the outstanding biography of any pastor or preacher in history. One of those books was Fox's Book of Martyrs. One was one that I didn't use much. I don't know if it's any good or not. Just never got around to use it. It was called Streams of the Desert. It was a daily devotional book. But one of those books was called Jesus is Coming by W.E.B. That's all it said down at the bottom. By W.E.B. Jesus is Coming by W.E.B. It was a manual on the coming of Christ. Literally, chock full of scriptures about the second coming of our Lord. And I'll never forget the joy that I had, the ecstasy that I felt as I learned for the first time, or as I really learned for the first time, about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I learned about the rapture. The word rapture meant nothing to me. I learned there was coming a time when the trumpet would sound and the voice of the archangel would shout. The dead in Christ would rise first. And then those who are living at the time of the rapture shall be changed in a moment and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I learned about the event called the rapture. I read in that little book, Jesus is Coming for the First Time, about a thing called the millennium. I found out that Jesus is coming to reign for 1,000 years. That's what we call pre-millennial people. We believe He's coming before 1,000 years. That's pre, before. And He's going to establish that 1,000 years and rule and reign as King of the earth for 1,000 years. There is a group called post-millennial people. They believe that the church and Christian people are going to make the world better and better and better. Of course, as the world's gotten worse and worse, that crowd's about faded off the scene. They believe that Jesus is going to come after the 1,000-year reign on earth. They call post-millennialists. Then, when I was in school, they had a bunch called the amillennialists. They believe the word ah is the Greek word for no. They didn't believe in a millennium. Then we had some little sissy pansies in seminary. They called themselves the pan-millennialists. They said, we don't know whether it's coming before the millennium or after the millennium or if there's going to be a millennium, but we just think it's going to pan out okay in the end. And we called them the pan-millennialists. But I got acquainted with the glorious teaching of the coming of our Lord. I'll never forget the first time I heard that song, Some Golden Daybreak Jesus Will Come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue, some golden daybreak for me and for you. I was enchanted with the doctrine of the second coming of our Lord. And I have been ever since then. Now this morning I'm not going to preach or teach on the second coming of our Lord except on this subject, the blessing of uncertainty. I believe the outstanding truth, outstanding thing, and the most blessed thing about the second coming of Jesus Christ. When I mention second coming, I realize that's in two phases. He is coming for His own at the rapture. And 7 years later, He's coming with His own after the tribulation period.